Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Robert Irwin Jewelers 48th anniversary sale is going on now through Saturday, and they're celebrating 48 years of yeses and making Robert Irwin Jewelers the number one place to say yes forever. From now through Saturday, you can take 48% off engagement rings. They also have outstanding other anniversary specials like three quarter carat lab grown diamond earrings on sale for $248. 3.5 carat lab-grown diamond halo engagement ring. That's available for $34.48. The 3 carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelet available for $9.48. You can even ask her now and pay later with great financing options like 24 months deferred interest, or you can take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Also, during the 48th anniversary sale, you can take 48% off any one item in the store, but hurry on in because it's all while supplies last. You can see a store for complete details. Shop Robert Irwin Jewelers in the Bartlett Town Center. You can shop them in South Haven off Goodman Road or the Diamond Showroom on South Perkins across from Laurelwood. You can always shop online at rijewelers.com. And a reminder, the sale ends on Saturday, October the 25th. Bigger, brighter diamonds, all at better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. Let's get into the list. The NBA on NBC. All right, boys, we got the return of the NBA to NBC last night, and there are a few things that stood out. Number one, I guess it's easier for NBC to broadcast a basketball game than it was for ESPN during the finals because they somehow miraculously gave us the ability to watch the starting lineups. Obviously, whenever you hear the song and the old school graphics package, it brings something back. I was wondering this, though. Do your kids, your players, like they don't really know the NBA on NBC. Like it's never like, it's been 20 something years. So they don't know that. Does that song mean anything to them?
You talking about the Jordan song?
Yeah. Well, the round ball rock. Because they also included the Jordan Alan Parsons Project song.
Unless they played certain video games, probably not.
And so, because, like, I was wondering, I thought it hit all the right notes because I thought they did a good job of kind of balancing the nostalgia but not going heavy-handed into it, which I had big fears that that was what they're – when you actually saw their launch and, like, what they were doing, I was like, oh, they're going too far into nostalgia. I thought they hit the right notes. I think it's good to have Tirico back on basketball. I just think Tirico's really good. But, like, I was wondering, I was like, does any of this matter? It's like, is it only effective because it's nostalgic for us and we're like, yes, this worked?
So that's what I was about to say because Jason and John asked me that earlier on their show, and I think I didn't give his greatest answer with it because I wasn't speaking from a media guy at that point. I was speaking, like, Tirico, that's great, like, how they came with it, but – most of the world who not in media kind of just they don't really care what station it's on. They just like to watch basketball. Like they don't really. So it's not as big. Now to us it's big. Like, oh, it was so great the commentary to Rico. Then it brought back the old school theme. But most of American sports actually, like you just said, they ready for to see Kevin Durant and Shea Alexander. Yeah. And if it's a clear TV and they can get on their phones or apps and looking for that, and they're waiting for the ring ceremony and Kerry and Luke, and it was more about that.
Who was C-Web, who was middle seat? This was Tirico, Reggie. Was it Weber? He's like, that's their studio show they did in the arena was Maria, VC, Mello. Was there a fourth?
Mello. Yeah, it was Mello.
Vince Carter, Mello. Yeah. Maria was hosting.
It was T-Mac.
Yes, and Tracy McGrady. But
Jamal Crawford.
Jamal Crawford, yeah. And Jamal had worked some in the Olympics. Kind of.
So, yeah.
So they had, yeah, they had, Crawford was doing a lot of lead color. I'm with you on that. I just thought what they did better than, and this is kind of, to me, this is what's going to be interesting. I long wondered during the finals if it was an NBA problem or an ESPN problem. Because I'm like you. I think oftentimes media types get too wrapped up into, well, this person's calling the game. I'm with you that doesn't matter. But it was like the simple presentation of the way ESPN presents a game feels very sterile, very hollow, and it's just unexciting. Last night, felt like the crowd was mic'd up pretty good, and obviously that's an arena that was fired up there. It was ring night, and obviously everybody's going to be in a loud, but just I felt like the crowd mics were better. I felt like the overall presentation was better, and then I started to wonder, I was like, maybe it wasn't an NBA thing so much as it was an ESPN ABC thing during the finals. Because I do think ESPN in general views as they want to make everything homogenous. They want to make it feel very much the same. And it's like, well, no, man, the finals is different.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, this is not a Tuesday, whatnot. But, like, they take pride in every broadcast is the same, whether or not it's a finals night for us and Tuesday, too. It's like, all right, man, but, like, maybe you can show us the starting lineups. Like, we've been watching that for most of our life. Like, maybe you can do that for the finals. Like, Fox somehow seems to figure it out during the World Series. Like, everyone seems to. Like, that's how you always know it's a big football game. If they actually show the coin toss. Like, if you get the video of the coin toss, it's like, all right, that's a big football game. Like, yeah. I just felt like overall, I don't know, like, I was wondering, it was like, okay, maybe this could kind of bully ESPN into being better, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know enough of, like, what's going on in their truck. Like, I don't know what their stated purpose behind the scenes is.
Yeah, like you said, it could have been. I will say this. I love NBC. It brought back memories from a kid. But I don't want to treat this like Linsanity. Let me make sure they do this right.
Yeah, no.
About 10, 20 games before
100%.
I automatically.
It's easy to come out and have a good first night.
A good first half, and now I'm putting them over ESPN and ABC. So let me make sure they continue this, not be a prisoner of the moment. And two, although most of the world don't care, Jeffrey, commentating how you present stuff is big in basketball. If I heard you right, am I quoting you right, you might have said throughout the year you might be watching a baseball game on mute.
Yeah.
I don't think too many people watch. Maybe I'm wrong, but like.
Well, it depends on how many games are going on.
Okay.
So, like, if it's a Thursday night and you've got, like, five games on, four of them are going to be on mute.
I'm talking about like an average household who watch one game at a time. Like,
I watch the Grizzlies games with Pete and Brevin.
Yeah. You're usually going, even if you are ignoring, think about this. It's people who say how ignored they are by certain commentators. And guess what? They have the option to mute the TV. But the average person, I don't think, always do that in basketball or football.
There have been times for nationally broadcast games where I just kind of get either bored or annoyed by whoever's calling the game, and I'll just try and sync up the radio call for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, that's the best. Is if there is no local broadcast, I do the same thing. I don't care that I'm like 15 seconds behind. I wait and pause it. I just listen to Eric. So, like, but.
Or I'll just go listen to it and just do something else. Just won't even watch.
The only, like, to your point about announcers, though, I largely agree. There's, like, if you had to pin me down right now and be like, who's your favorite play-by-play guy? I don't know if I really have an answer. I do actually think as time has gone on, time has been kinder to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. The more you realize, like, these guys are pretty good. Last night, and I know this is not a new take, I just find myself insanely jealous of Noah Eagle because I don't even care that his dad has the right last name. That guy, that voice should not come out of a 28-year-old. Like, he sounds like he's been, and probably because he's basically been trained since birth, but it sounds like he's like a professional, like 60-year-old voice, and it's just, he's incredible. It's like, it doesn't matter if he's calling football, if he's calling basketball, like anything he calls, he's really good at it. And you're sitting there like, man, I'm not sure he should be that good that young, but he is.
No, and a thing about anything we do, Jeffrey and George, I know y'all don't realize this. You got some overseas, right? You have some artists, filthy rich, never have sold in America, vice versa. You have in California. Back in the day, if you just sell in California, New York alone, I think you're platinum it. The rest of the world might not like it. This world is so frigidy on what they like and don't like because I know some really good commentators that other people say annoy them. Think about it. Some of the best people you get on Twitter.
I can't right now.
My bad. I went the wrong way with that. Okay. You get on social media.
Most of his social media. For what it's worth.
That's not
99% of it.
It could be like a great game, and next thing you see a million comments like, "I wish what's name would just shut up," and he's wrong on everything. You know, so
I'd like to do some content analysis because I guarantee you, I would bet the overwhelming majority of those people that are tweeting, I'm setting aside just active trolls, I bet their team's losing because you always think the announcers hate your team. When you're losing, because everybody's just kind of just a sore loser and whatnot. But last night I would give the example, I would say pretty much across the board, most basketball fans' least favorite main analyst is Reggie Miller. But like, I didn't even see any Reggie hate last night.
Well, I used to see hate. I like the, I know they
But then
both,
now so- to your point though, now I'm just wondering is most of the online. Like, I know locally, there was a lot that went back to, like, a Dan Patrick appearance, like, 20 years ago. Reggie dropped the line of, like, nobody signs in Memphis because nobody wants to be in Memphis. And so, like, there's a local element. But I also think a large portion of the hate just comes from Knicks fans. Also insist that Mike Breen's the greatest announcer of all time. And Mike Breen seems like a lovely man, and he's a very fine broadcaster. To act like he's the greatest of all time is so insane.
Yeah, that's a New York thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
he's your broadcaster. That's fine.
I used to like, even though I think they both coach in at least one of, I like the Van Gundy.
Oh,
Mark
I used to
I
want.
Love
I used
the
to
Van
want.
Gundys.
I wanted the traveling circus. I apparently was like an audience of one. I thought Breen, Van Gundy, and Jackson worked. Now,
I thought
you had to have all three. When you just had Jackson on one night, or you just had. Van Gundy on one night, there was not the balance. Like, you needed the whole crotchety old man versus the coach that's trying to take up. Like, you needed that.
Yeah.
You needed that yin and yang.
They would go at each other.
Correct.
Like,
but it was
throughout
awesome.
The broadcast. I loved that. Is it Stan who's back coaching now?
No, Jeff.
Jeff is an assistant with the Clippers.
Yes.
He's with Ty.
Yes.
Yeah, Stan, I don't know where he's at.
I think, moved to Amazon because he was with TNT. But that
Mark
was like.
Mark got fired, right? When he is, I thought Mark.
Where did Mark Jackson end up?
But it was people used to complain about them out, and I'm like, they actually makes they funny. I used to like Jeff and Mark. Now they used to.
You had to have the bickering.
Why do I think Mark went to Prime?
Did he? I haven't seen much.
Let's see. Maybe he's still out since the ESPN thing.
He might be out.
Yeah, I think when they did that, y'all don't remember that week or two where they just made
well,
like some crazy
there's no
cuts.
Question. I don't know if Mark Jackson there's no question Van Gundy got blackballed by the league. The league viewed him as not promotional enough, so they got him canned. And so that's why he went back into coaching. I don't know if Mark Jackson also got the persona non grata from the league.
Mark Jackson is for sure blackballed from the league.
Well, coaching wise, like
coaching-wise.
I didn't know, like, in terms of being an announcer,
media wise, okay.
Right? I don't know, but Van Gundy clearly was, because I think that was in the end. That was why Van Gundy went. They both got paid. I think they got paid out the rest of their salary, but then Van Gundy didn't even pursue a media job. He just went straight to coaching.
That's in his heart. So I hope that worked out for him. But so, like I said, these days you never know, Jeffrey, like who's good and who's bad, because people pick and choose what they want. But some people, like you say, clearly has talent. And then again, you have to stay off social media, because you literally, and I told Jason and John asked me earlier, who was the most exciting players in the NBA that I liked it. And of course, I went on to tell them, Ja, Anthony, I was Lucas, the old guys. Then Joker. They brought up, you know, then I said, you got your usual suspects, older guys like LeBron, Durant, and Steph. They was like, no Greek Freak. And I was like, oh, I forgot him. But when you listen to some people don't think LeBron or Greek Freak is exciting. Some people think they just run people over and dunk. You know, you got to get like
what exciting means
to certain people.
I do think LeBron definitely has some, what I used to say was like, if you just watch baseball on TV, it's nowhere near the same experience. When you watch LeBron live, you have a deeper appreciation. Because I do think if you're on TV, if you're just watching TV and you're just following the basketball, it is a lot of standing at the top of the key while everything, he's orchestrating.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in person, you realize, oh, he is in complete command. Whereas if you're just watching it on TV, it's like, oh, you feel like he's just waiting to get the right switch, and then he's just going to go to the hole and try to dunk over somebody. I do think there is something about if you've seen LeBron in person versus just watching him on TV. Obviously, he is an all-time great, so he has moments on television that you sit there and you are left in awe. But I think when you go and you watch him in person, it is an even deeper experience.
No, so I would
100% agree.
You said it well. It's just we are in a world now where as long as you get people attention, whether it's negative or positive, that's all the world. But you're going to get, no matter how great you are these days, you're going to get a lot of negativity. And you never can, like I worked at a wing place, like some people want their wings hard. Some people don't. This one person might say, oh, I love them. The next person, these too crispy. So it's like, that's how people have their preference, you know, with houses.
Oh, actually, I was going to stop cooking at 3 minutes for you. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Like with houses, you got one, I think, a year or two ago, and I've been talking to realtors. It's like, some people like carpet, some people don't. A lot of stuff is about...
It's largely based on, do you have kids?
Yeah, preference, yeah. Kids, preference, thing. Some people like pools. Some people would not take a pool, even if it was free.
I mean, it's funny, like, growing up...
A lot of work.
If someone had a pool, that was a status symbol. Now, almost everyone I know, depending on, could be the richest guy I know, and like nobody wants a pool.
And my daughter wants a pool, right?
Yeah, that's tough.
The craziest thing.
Too much work.
Well, then my mom bought, like, they built like their house to like retire in. Her whole point of moving out of the other house was to get rid of the pool. And then like 2 years later, she got bored and put in a pool.
I will say this, although it's work, George. A pool do feel good just sitting outside. And then
absolutely.
It gets, especially some of the ones I done went and looked at where the pool, hot tub is like right in the area where you're working at a lot, or right, like you can see it from the living room or kitchen area. To me, it gives it a little vibe. And I spend a lot of money in the summer with my girl, my daughter and her cheerleaders getting water slides. We go to hotels to go swim. We go to beaches. It would cut. Well, I don't know, because it costs to keep up with pools, but I think it'll cut a little of my income by having one right there for, you know, whenever I decide.
You
to
think
to
that?
You say that until never, you have to replace the liner.
I remember we got a pool in fifth grade, and I remember thinking like, oh my God, I'm going to use this every single day. There's no pool that gets used less than your own pool.
Mm.
Now, I do wonder, though, with girls it's different. Because that was the other thing, to your point. One of the best feelings of the pool is if you were just running or you're mowing the lawn, like just immediately going in. But all the stuff that I do that's hot, whether it was like playing baseball in the summer or golf or whatever, like the things you do, you get into a car for 25 minutes and then you cool down. And so then by the time like you've been blasting the AC, you don't really want to jump in the pool because you have like that feeling of your shirt's been dried out from the air conditioning. It's kind of gross. You just want to go take a shower. So like that's kind of where I was. If I could have just went straight from baseball practice and sprinted into the pool, that's a different thing. And I do feel like, though, I think girls would definitely use the pool more. Like, I know, like, my wife, you could just put, like, an above-ground kiddie pool, and I think she'd use it.
No, little girls and women love pools. Like, when did the Tiger do their stuff? Last Thursday.
So yeah. I think it was Thursday?
It was Thursday, because I just wanted to get away, right? Staycation. I didn't go out of town. Like, we're supposed to, I go downtown. Get a nice hotel, looking up. I actually got to see it from my hotel. I forgot it was that day.
That's perfect.
I was at that
the Hampton Inn.
In Suites on Bill. Yeah. I think I called Jeffrey and asked him if he ever stayed there. But the cool thing about it, they was able to upgrade. So I had a balcony, and it was on the Beale Street side. This is the funny thing about it. It was like, well, this is not the highest upgrade. It's another one looking over Halley Park or something like that. I'm like, hold on.
Yeah, I can see that on the back.
How can that be better than looking over Bill? And I didn't get that, but they say this was the other one. Give me that one, the Bill.
Was it the same? Was the room size the same?
The room size was the same.
It was just the view. The other view was considered a superior view.
A superior view. But when I talked to some of the people that worked there,
Maybe some people don't want to look out to Bill.
And you stand downtown?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, that'd be my only guess, but I don't really think of Halley Park as like our best.
That's what I didn't get. And some of the workers even told me, like, no, this is the best view. I don't know
that,
why they...
That to me seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, they said, I don't know why they made this one. But long story short, because the Tiger stuff was going on, because of the view, them rooms that... Well, you know, Hampton Inn is what, one something? Them rooms were $300 a night. So I'm like, oh, I'd rather have a pool than we keep coming down.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially literally what the... middle of a week in October, like it's not like anything's going on. That's not what I would consider like jack up the rates time.
Maybe they thought the Tiger thing, which I thought it was great, and maybe it was something because it was a lot of people at the hotel. It was, you know, the hotel has stuff going on. You never know. It was a bunch of family. I don't know why they was in Memphis. If you go downtown often,
maybe customers that come, like if AutoZone has customers, maybe they all stay there. Like,
you would think right down the street from headquarters.
In the end, like, if they, I mean, all those prices are so optimized.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything's run by an algorithm.
That's true.
So, like, when you told me the price of that one, I was stunned.
Yeah, I don't know why it went up that day.
I was like, is there something going on I didn't know about?
Memphis is underrated for that, Jeff. Let me tell you why.
Convention stuff?
I used to go do a little work on my laptop years ago at that Starbucks. It's like across
from FedEx Forum.
I met so many people that was not just from out the city, that was from out the country. I met people from England and everywhere. I love Memphis. They talking to me. And I'm like, why are you here? Like, I didn't even.
We need to maybe have them do promotional material.
And some of them actually said they came to Memphis because they thought it was, I love it. I love it. I'm like, oh, okay. I love it too.
You must not have come in August. Because there's one thing I do love about all the Europeans. They don't know what humidity is. Like, they have no, like, even like their resort places, it's not like humid. And watching a European get like in the deep south, they melt. Like, they can't even think about anything else. I was like, oh man, this is as happy as I can be. All right, Tom Izzo. All right, so Izzo, I suppose today was speaking at Big Ten Media Days, and he had some comments about the G Leaguers that have regained eligibility. This from Myron Metcalf of ESPN. With two former G League players recently committing to play for Division I schools, Michigan State coach Tom Izzo said he doesn't respect, end quote, the NCAA power brokers who've allowed these moves to happen. Quote, I'm going to get myself in trouble, but I'll listen to people talk about how kids changed. Kids aren't the problem. We're the problem. This was sprung on us yesterday where a guy can be in the G League for 2 or 3 years and then all of a sudden he's eligible. Most of my people knew nothing about it. I'm not really excited about the NCAA or whoever is making these decisions without talking to us, just letting it go. They're afraid they're going to get sued. He then continued, about the overall state. Someone is going to say, well, if they go pro and it doesn't work out, they should be able to come back. He also added that there are no rules right now. Well, what about the freshman you recruited there? That's somebody's son, and he thinks he's got himself a good place, and all of a sudden, shazam, they pull out of their hat and bring a 21, 22-year-old in from the G League. To me, it's ridiculous. It's embarrassing, and I love my job. I don't respect my profession, and I don't respect whoever is doing that. Whoever made these decisions because they're afraid that a lawyer is going to sue them, sooner or later, you've got to fight. Maybe I'm the dummy, but I'll never agree to that stuff. The NCAA has to regroup. They've got to regroup. That's my opinion. Only my opinion. Don't be mad at anybody else. Be mad at us. But I'm not going to be mad at the players. I'm going to be mad at the adults in the room. So don't blame the players anymore. Blame the adults that make the decision that allows some of these ridiculous things to happen.
So, my take on that, because that was so deep. I didn't know if we was in Bicel or Redick anymore.
No, no.
But my take on that is, I agree with a little bit what he's saying. Now, you are dealing with an older guy who I really, really respect, Tom Izzo. Coach Tom Izzo. Love what he do. Love him being a leader of young men. But some of that, you know, has a little age in that too, of things are grumpiness in there, things are changing that he don't like and respect. So it's a two-end streak on it. Those guys who left, now it did get sprung up overnight because it just started.
It wasn't even publicized. Like, it just quietly happened, which tells you that even the people that making the decisions knew.
Yeah, because if it was something
right,
great, they would have put
correct
it out, right? So, but when you say not right, I want to refrain from that, because a guy that took some money to go to the G League, or he just went to the G League, or he went to Overtime Elite, a lot of times they would get punished for that because you couldn't take it. So even if they made it or not, they're just out here, and they pretty much, life is over with to a certain extent, because they can't get reevaluated and they're not getting the college exposure. And once you get too deep in the G League, it's not a lot of exposure. So from that standpoint, I do think it's fair, because now you done made a rule saying these guys can make money. Well, these same guys wouldn't have went that route if they could have went to college and make money. They only went that route because there wasn't any money in college. So that's where I think is a kind of what you don't do that forever, but you do it for the guys in the last 2-3 years who only took that route because of that. When he says embarrassing, I'm going to be real. I think it's embarrassing on both sides, because can you imagine being a guy, especially an inner city guy, I can let you know how this go, that thought he was going to the lead, and now he got to turn around and go to college? That's a humbling experience too, guys.
No, I would actually argue, I think, the other way, in the sense that I actually think, though, I think everybody would be better off if you, like, had to go work for a year and do something. I think he takes college more seriously, because I think when college just becomes, like, the next thing, or, like, even if you're a basketball player and you're like, I'm just here for a little bit, you don't take it that seriously. So I could see that. I guess the problem that I have, and, like, I feel like I'm pretty consistent. Like, in golf, there are guys that turn professional, and they don't make it. Well, then they reapply for amateur status, and then they can go and compete in the nation's elite amateur events. I'm like, no, you were a professional. Like, you made that decision. Where I struggle with it is, should we, like, when you make the decision to turn pro, like, you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I feel the same way. Also, we're muddying the international waters of, like, my thing is, like, either quote unquote, have to have amateur status, but now it's like, what is that? This isn't amateurism. So I don't know. Like, I now almost get to the point where it's like, well, if you cannot restrict someone's ability to make money, and this person has an ability to make money, it's like, I guess I just have to go along with it.
So let me ask you this though, Jeff. In baseball and golf, can't they go straight from a teenager or a high school straight to the pros?
So golf is free will.
Free will.
You can turn pro. There have been guys, I wouldn't recommend it, but there have been guys that you can turn pro at 16 if you want.
And go.
Yep.
In baseball,
you have
straight out of high school.
There's a couple of options. So you can get drafted right out of high school. Mm-hmm. If let's say you have first round talent, but because they think you're going to be expensive to sign, they don't draft you, and you wind up either getting a lesser offer than you wanted, or you didn't like your positioning. If you go to college, you have to sit out. You have to play college for 3 years. There's also a middle road of if you go JUCO, you are eligible to get drafted again the next summer. So hockey works like this, though. I actually think hockey might have the best system. Hockey is you are drafted after your high school year, and the team maintains your rights, and you can go to college for as long as you want. They have your rights.
There is a time limit.
I think it's 5 years, right?
It's either 3 or 4, and then you can become essentially an unrestricted free agent. But at that point, you will have graduated college, done right. All that. And then the other way, if you were playing in like Canada or Europe or whatever like that, your team that you were playing for, your youth team, if you're getting drafted at 16, 17, whatever, also retains your rights. You can go back and play for them on loan, quote unquote, from your pro team, and then they can sign you to that entry-level contract after like 2 years.
So,
year two.
Like hockey, baseball, and golf, guys, I think that's why it's hard for me to say whether it's right or wrong. Basketball didn't have that option. If it was an option where they could come right out of high school, right, at that point, whether they made it or not, like back in the day, the tail feathers and them, they would still have enough money to handle themselves. They're like coming out.
Yeah, but I think the problem is, like, I hear you, but it's not the NCAA's rule. It's the NBA's rule. The reason why they can't come out of high school anymore is because the NBA and the Players Association bargained that, no, like, you got to stay in for at least 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm saying it's still affecting their decision-making. That's what I'm saying. And so now, if it was something like you said, golf or baseball, where they could draft them and go back, some of them guys would take that option. It's one of them things where it's like, before NIL, you either all in or out. A lot of people chose to go to the NBA, not because they thought they was fully ready. These guys think they're ready now, but now they don't have to make a harsh, desperate decision because they're making from $200,000 to $2 million a year.
Yeah, I guess where I struggle, because I feel like I'm somewhere waffling on this one, because I do think another problem is, like, we're still trying to pretend that this is amateurism. Like, to me, like, I have a bigger problem with it in golf. Like, when you turn professional, like, we still in golf have a pretty divided world of amateurs versus professionals. When you turn professional, you lose your right to be an amateur. Like, I just fundamentally believe that. And even if there are people that I know that have regained their amateur status. Where it gets murky now is college football, college basketball, these are pros. Like, they're all making money, but it's like, because we can't come out and say, well, it's name, image, and likeness, we can't actually say, no, they're getting paid a salary. Like, there's still this weird element of, did you actually turn? Like, what separates, what's the, AJ, the young man that's going to be, are you?
AJ DeBassa.
Okay. What separates him from a G League guy?
What separates him?
Yeah, but I'm talking about not from a talent perspective, but like, he's going to BYU to make $4 million.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to BYU because he's really digging Book of Mormon.
And I think that's why when some people sit down with the NCAA, they realize it's not a big difference. That's why they might have to accept those guys. I think it's going to be a lot tougher on them. I think Izzo, one, he's a true dude. But I think some guys are mad because they can't wait the next year because they can do it. They didn't go recruit none of them, okay? I'm going to be real about these coaches. Two, it's actually going to be hard on that person to come in because you are already trying to fight to get to the NBA. If you come to college and that and then get your butt kicked, you never have a chance. So to me, it's a lot of gambling still with coming back, because now these guys start dominating. I can see people crying, but I'm not sure that they're going to dominate like that.
I feel pretty good about the guy that's going to Santa Clara or St. Mary's, I can't remember, whatever the West Coast, because that league is not athletic. Mm-hmm. So, but like the guy going to Louisville, I don't know.
I mean, you got to play Duke still. There's going to have like 3-4 first rounders, right? Like,
I mean, so, Carolina may not have a great record, but I know Carolina's going to have dudes.
So, and if he kill, he deserves to get. But, you know, it's a huge game. I know that kid. I recruit him some AAU. Great parents, dad, all of that. But, it's not a guarantee.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk a little news from the NFL. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM. Yes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN.
All right, boys, a little bit of news out of the NFL. Marcus Mariota will be out for the Monday night football game. Or is it Monday night? They're playing the Chiefs. Is it Monday? Yes, Monday night. Do we have another stupid doubleheader? This week's doubleheader was, like, I've decided, give me at least give me the staggered start. Staying up till 9 p.m. to try to watch the Texans play offense was like torture.
No doubleheader this week. Thank the Lord. I don't know. I think Monday should just be a standalone. Is it Daniels who's out, or is it Mariota who's out, or is it both?
Daniels is out, Mariota in.
Okay, I was about to say.
No, sorry. Did I screw it up? Did I say it backwards?
You said Mariota was out. No, sorry. Like, oh,
Daniels,
wait.
Daniels is out, Mariota's in.
If it's both, they are in trouble.
That game goes out the midnight.
Also, we have Lamar did show up at practice, but it didn't seem like.
Was he limited? I think they said it was.
I didn't get a lot of optimism. I think everyone was kind of thinking post bye week, Lamar would be good to go. I did not get that sense. Which, I mean, hey, I mean, it is a hammy, right?
Yeah.
I've always contended that's the of all the soft tissue injuries, that's the one that just has a mind of its own. I've seen guys have it for a week, and then I've seen guys like literally just the whole season. They just have a hamstring.
Yeah, them ones you can't play with. And that actually, Jeff, I got to agree that you don't play with that. Whenever we have time to talk about this, the NBA now, when you was talking about investments, guys getting simple injuries sitting out. I mean, 3-4. I remember when people used to come back in 2 days, but the hammy you can't play with.
Hammy you can't play with, although I guess you can make the argument now that Cooper Rush is so bad, like, are you better off just even telling Lamar just stay in the pocket? It's better. But I mean, that's the thing. It's like he's still going to get hit.
That's also not how he's wired. Like, yeah, that's so tough to like just tell a guy, hey, you've played this way for forever, turned you into an MVP.
Just sit.
Do what you do.
One thing I give Lamar credit for, it feels like he actually run just because he actually is a really good thrower, though. I don't look at him as just a you know, some quarterbacks that are dual is like
It's dual threat means you can't throw. That's what it used to like. Literally, whenever I would go and see like the recruiting rankings, he's the number one dual threat guy, so he can't throw.
Like
Lamar has made himself into a very, very good passer.
Yeah. Yes, so for him, absolutely. I'm gonna be real. As fast as he is and as good as he can scramble, it's crazy because he preferred to pass, and Lamar, now he might roll out of the pocket a little bit, so do Pat Mahomes, but they actually throw the ball.
Yeah, I still don't want Lamar throwing 45 times from the pocket, but like to me, it's like, but to your point, I mean, Mahomes stays in the pocket for a grand total of, what, a second and a half? Now, that's largely because he doesn't trust his offensive line. But the other thing, have we discussed the J.J. McCarthy thing's weird?
Very.
Have they just straight up benched him? Because now there's the talking point was, it was because he's now healthy. But the talking point was, well, it's a short week, and we didn't want to rush him in on a short week. He didn't play Sunday. It's a longer week for him than anyone.
I have no idea what's going on with that situation. And what's weirdest about that to me is of all the head coaches right now in the NFL, the one I might trust maybe the most, or at least top three, with a young quarterback, or at least a quarterback you need to get into shape,
I agree.
Kevin O'Connell.
In terms of taking someone that's probably not that good, although Darnold's without KOC this year, and he's looking fine. Now, Darnold last year, like,
was
at
superb.
A point, he had the numbers to be considered an MVP candidate. So I do agree with you. I literally think at this point, they've collectively come to the agreement Carson Wentz is a better option.
It's some underrated point guards that have been, QB, he's my bad guy.
Point guard of the football team.
Yeah.
There you go.
That has been rejuvenated, guys. Like, it's probably about 3-4 guys this year that you would want on my team that's playing pretty good football right now.
I can't remember if it was the early Monday night game, but they put up the graphic. Daniel Jones, Baker Mayfield, and Sam Darnold are all now a combined, because Daniel's 6-1, Baker's 5-2, Darnold's 5-2, so they're 16-4.
They are.
And they were left for dead.
They are ball. Now, you knew Baker. We didn't know he was going to be this good, but he was good. But Sam Darnold and that guy from
Daniel Jones.
Indianapolis, Daniel Jones.
DJ.
He was awesome again on Sunday.
Obviously, I didn't
see
it.
He outplayed Herbert. Herbert did a phenomenal job in garbage time to make it look good. But it was over in the second quarter.
The way the Colts are playing is unbelievable right now. They still winning like 6-1.
Yes.
That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable. Now, what's name finally got shut down Monday though by the Lions.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like if Baker doesn't play like a 10 out of 10, you realize the Bucs are somewhat limited. And then obviously Mike Evans gets hurt with the clavicle. Abuka's playing with a hammy, and he doesn't look right. And then they couldn't really get the run game going. And the Lions just came out. Like, to me, like, that was that classic. The Lions got punked on Sunday Night Football against the Chiefs on the road, and then they come back home. It's like, that's a really bad spot to play them.
Yeah, because they had a lot of energy.
Oh, boy, did they.
They was going for crazy
fourth
downs.
It was Monday Night Football, and Detroit was ready.
Because they only got 3 field goals, right? They didn't get I think that was Baker's first game without a touchdown, I think, this year.
Did they?
I think it was 9-24.
I couldn't remember if they went for 2. You're correct. But I think it was 24-9, but I swear I thought.
Oh, the 9 might have came. It was a touchdown.
They went for 2. No, it was a touch. They had a field goal, and then they got a touchdown. They went for 2 to try to make it 11 because they were down 14. They were trying to make it a field goal game, and then they got blitzed. All right, well, let's take another break. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys. For days, don't tell these story. Tell your story. George, I swear to God, I'm not lashing out and picking on your team. I just love this. Ultimate coach speak from my boy, Aaron Glenn. Will not announce a starting quarterback against the Bengals because, quote, he doesn't want to give the Bengals a competitive advantage, so he will not be revealing whether or not Justin Fields or Tyrod Taylor starting on Sunday. As if it would matter.
I love it.
As if
I kind of love it.
As if it would actually matter. All right, Coach, good to have you in here, as always. If you missed anything, I'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Coach, it's Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.